From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation around the world. I'm George Norrie, and here's what's happening. The World Health Organization is now saying the vaccine is the best tool against the swine flu. However, they say there are reports of a few minor side effects, these happening in China. A spokesperson for WHO says the reports of 4 people out of nearly 40,000 vaccinated against the H1N1 in China who had side effects like muscle cramps and headaches. He said that such effects are to be expected. He says people, especially health workers, should be encouraged to get the vaccine. We'll keep updating you on this situation. The Mediterranean diet, already thought to protect against heart disease and cancer, may also help to prevent depression, according to Spanish researchers. They found depression was more than 30% less likely to develop in people who followed a diet high in vegetables, fruit, and cereals, and low in red meat. They studied nearly 10,000 healthy adults over 4 years. The Journal of American Medical Association reports on that story. The central Wisconsin parents convicted in their daughter's death will not go to prison, but will spend 10 years on probation and some minor jail time. A judge sentenced Dale and Leilani Newman for the death of their 11-year-old daughter, Kara. She died of complications from untreated diabetes while her parents prayed over her instead of seeking medical attention as her condition worsened. Earlier this year, separate juries found each of the parents guilty of second-degree reckless homicide, a charge that carries up to 25 years in prison. Both parents spoke to the judge at their sentencing hearing, calling Kara's death an act of God, reading biblical passages and saying the only thing they're guilty of is following their faith. And again, they will just get probation. The United Nations called for a new global reserve currency to end dollar supremacy, which has allowed the United States, they say, the privilege of building a huge trade deficit. We've got Catherine Austin Fitz on the line with us now. Catherine, I'm convinced now more than ever that they're doing away with the dollar and we're going to a global currency. What do you think?
Well, that's what we've been working for. In other words, we started to go, it's like walking down a set of stairs, George. We started to go down the stairs in 1995, and we're coming into now a big new step because, and a step down for the United States. The G20 met in Pittsburgh and really coalesced around shifting the global governance from the G8 to the G20 nations, having about 85% of the economic activity. And now what we're watching is the IMF being moved underneath the G20 as sort of the new infrastructure for sort of economic governance, and now calls by the undersecretary at the UN for the SDR special drawing rights system that the IMF has started to implement being used as the new global reserve currency. Now, this has all been going on for, you know, we've been building towards this for quite some time, but we're starting to take a new big step, and we saw the dollar fall a lot in the last 24 hours and gold spike up to over 1,000. This high this morning is 1,044. So it's, there's a power shift going on, and it's just going to keep continuing.
How long do you think they had this plan underfoot?
Well, this has been going on for decades. I mean, this is, you know, the talk on this started as they put the central banking system in place, and they've been shooting for this in one shape, form, or another since World War II. So this is old, but it was really with the creation of the World Trade Organization and the various bureaucracies, in 1994. And the whole, what we're at in the very long term, George, what you're watching is as we're shifting from national sovereignty to a global structure that works much more through corporations. And as that's happening, we're shifting from exercising control through control of oil combined with currency into food, probably combined with currency. So one of the trends to watch for is real centralized control of agriculture and industrialization of agriculture. That's very much part of this moving to the global system.
Very good. Thank you, Catherine. Catherine's website, again, will be right after the show on our Twitter feed that you can find at coasttocoastam.com. The first century BC was one of the most culturally rich in the history of the Roman Empire, the age of Cicero, Caesar, Virgil. But as much as historians know about the great figures of this period, ancient Rome They know very little about some basic facts, such as the population size of the late Roman Empire. Now a group of historians using hoards of buried coins to provide an answer to this question. During the Republican period of Rome, that's about the 5th to the 1st centuries B.C., adult male citizens of Rome, I guess they never counted females, could be taxed and conscripted into the army and also given the right to vote. To keep track of this section of the population and their taxable assets, the Roman state conducted periodic censuses. Now, there's a range that the males in the population around the 2nd century B.C., 200,000 to 400,000 individuals. But then apparently later on, they increased to 4 to 5 million males in ancient Rome. Newly declassified military documents in the United Kingdom about the Rendlesham Forest incident, which has come to be known as the British Roswell, suggest that UFOs may be piloted by extraterrestrials who could be tourists visiting Earth. Linda Moulton Howe, our investigative reporter, continues to follow these incredible stories. Linda, this story that you, of course, been following and doing an incredible job over the last few years on this, this one's in the Telegraph now. So the mainstream media out there in the UK, Linda, is picking up on this story. What's your reaction to this?
Well, the Telegraph on September 19th did a headline, UFO sightings over Britain more than triple this year. And that was measuring between January and August of 2009. And that first story was that there were nearly 400 reports in England versus maybe only 118 sightings the year before. And then the very next day, on the 20th, they had another headline, Britain's X-Files RAF suspected aliens of tourist visit to Earth that you're talking about right now. And that came out of the context that they've been having a lot of aerial phenomena. And a writer there named David Clark has a new book that's coming out. It hasn't been released yet. And that book is going into these Project Condyne, is what they're called, files that we first heard about in 1996 when the MOD, in 2006, when the MOD released about 465 pages of a report that had been done by the MOD's Defense Intelligence Analysis staff looking at all of about 10,000 some reports that had been in England over a long period of time. And in a way, some people said, well, this is England's version of the Condon report that was put together between 1997 and 2000. And then 6 years later, it was released to the public with a very strong emphasis on everything being plasmas, natural explanations, even if the plasmas could not be identified. Now, when it comes to Bentwaters and what happened in December 1980, I have been sharing on Coast and Earth Files, my news website, the real people who were there.
Yes.
What you find when you start reading the 465 pages, which I started trying to do 2 weeks ago, you find that they really are not being definitive. And in fact, David Clark's own consensus in this new book that's going to come out in October, in which he is summarizing these reports from Project Condyne, the 465 MOD pages, he is saying that here they had a chance to do a first-class investigation of a truly rare and unusual phenomena in Rendlesham Forest that an anonymous military source who is described in his own book as being an RAF wing commander without defining who it was or exactly the timeline is basically saying in the book that they, this was a quote, the national security implications of UFOs are considerable. We have many reports of strange objects in the skies, and we have never investigated them, including RAF Bentwaters. It was never given the kind of investigation that a lot of military insiders think that it should have had, just as you heard John Burroughs on Coast recently saying that in his 26-year Air Force career, nothing in December 26th to 28th at RAF Bentwaters in Woodbridge during those nights when so many men were seeing these unexplained phenomena, including the Deputy Base Commander, Colonel Charles Hault, who now today, 30 years later, is saying that the origin was extraterrestrial.
It is truly a remarkable story, Linda Moulton-Howe. Linda's website, by the way, Earthfiles at earthfiles.com. Thank you, Linda, and I look forward to your October report. And then she'll be into her Thanksgiving and Christmas holiday reports. So we'll be changing some of the days that she'll be on, but I'll let you know that as we get close to that. A breaking story up there in space, the Spitzer Space Telescope has discovered the biggest but never seen before rings around planet Saturn again. These aren't the ones we've all seen. These are brand new. The thin array of ice and dust particles lies at the far reaches of the system, and its orbit is tilted 27 degrees from the planet's main ring plane. It's an incredible story. And by the way, the last hour of our program tonight, Richard C. Hoagland joins us as we talk about the moon mission, the bomb. That's right. Friday, NASA plans to send off some kind of projectile into the surface of the moon from the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. And Richard will be reporting on that for us tonight, last hour, right after our main guest, David Wilcock, who joins us in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, I call him the thinker, David Wilcock, professional author, lecturer, filmmaker, musician, researcher of ancient civilizations, consciousness science, new paradigms of matter and energy. He is the subject and co-author of the international bestseller, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Some believe he may be the reincarnated Edgar Cayce. Also the executive producer of 2012 Enigma and The Convergence, the movie, and the lead vocalist on The Wanderer, Awakening, a metaphysical musical. I've got to get you to sing on Coast to Coast one night, David. We're going to do this. I'm going to do this. How are you?
I thought you said I was the thinker.
You're trying to get
me to wear more than one hat here.
You got that right. Last time I saw you, we had a great conference. I had a wonderful time. The audience loved you, as they always do. How have you been?
It's been quite an interesting ride, George. It's a very dynamic year. I think everybody has been going through a lot of changes, and this seems to be a consciousness field-related effect. You know, my contention has always been that we're moving into a zone of energy in the galaxy that has a much higher energetic charge. I noticed just now you were mentioning on your opening notes something about the Spitzer telescope or satellite
mm-hmm.
that has now seen new rings around Saturn. They might not have been there before. I mean, we're seeing changes in climate all throughout the solar system, all kinds of new stuff showing up. You can tick off every single planet. In fact, recently it was announced that there are magnetic tornadoes appearing on Mercury, and they've never seen that before. And you just tick down every single planet. You know, Venus is getting much brighter. Mars is experiencing global warming. They're actually calling it that. You're seeing cloud formations, ice caps melting. You go to Jupiter, and you're seeing massive changes in terms of there's a new red spot forming and things are appearing and disappearing. There's gigantic storms showing up. The plasma around Jupiter is getting much more highly charged. Saturn, now we have the new rings. It's also had a massive blast of X-rays coming out from around the equator. Then you go out to Uranus and Neptune, both of which are having substantial increases in storm activity. Their brightness is substantially increasing. And of course, Pluto is actually experiencing a 300% increase in its atmospheric pressure due to what they're calling global warming, even though it's moving away from the sun. So that's kind of the thumbnail of what's happening on a physical level to the solar system. But then you have to remember that the energy that's causing this is totally a consciousness-based energy. That's the substrate of all matter in the universe. So,
explain that, David. What do you mean by that? That the consciousness could be creating this?
Well, first of all, you have to dismiss with the idea that there is anything other than mind. The biggest mystery in the universe is identity. The biggest mystery is what happens when you look in the mirror and who are you seeing? That really is the bottom line. Is there a difference between you and me? I mean, obviously, there is an illusion that we're living in that says that you're sitting in a studio and I'm sitting in my house talking to you on the phone and everybody else out there is listening, and we're all different identities. But in truth, we have so much information now to suggest that the building blocks of physical matter as we know it are fundamentally conscious, because, as we know, in the quantum realm, it behaves based on what you expect it to do. And so when we extrapolate from that and then tie in a variety of ancient prophecy sources, as well as some modern sources from alleged extraterrestrial intelligence, of which I have produced some of those myself with some pretty astonishing results in terms of predicting the future, what we see is a unified model of cosmology in which the entire universe is built from the energy of mind. And that is the basis of all matter. And there is an extensive scientific case that I can make to establish that that premise is valid.
All right, let's back that up. And also, David, I want to ask you after this, if this strange feeling that so many people are feeling, if this is what you're feeling as well. But go ahead.
Well, okay. I think the strange feeling is obviously a hyperdimensional change. Now, you have to understand that there are very tangible markers that we can look at to prove that, in fact, evolution is occurring at a rapid speed in humanity. I recently did a Project Camelot conference called Awaken Aware, and we have that video on my website for free to watch, divinecosmos.com. And people are really jazzed about this video because I gave away a lot of stuff that up until now I have only been giving in conferences that people had to pay to see. But we're so close now to where these things are going to start really happening that I'm starting to open up the records and let this stuff go out, because it's just too important not to talk about it. So one of the things that I found that really fascinates me is this University of Wisconsin anthropologist named John Hawks, who studied human evolution by looking at the actual genetic DNA information available in various fossils and so forth. And from those archives, he was able to conclude that in the last 40,000 years, the human species has been undergoing what he refers to as supercharged evolutionary change, and that in particular, in the last 5,000 years, we have been speeding up in our evolution so fast that a person from 3000 BC is more similar to the Neanderthal than we are to a person in 3000 BC. In other words, our evolution has quickened so dramatically that there is a substantial difference between people now and people 5000 years ago. And that's a genetic measurable DNA change. So then you also look at the Flynn effect, which Richard has also talked about, Richard Hoagland, which basically shows that for at least a century, if not longer, the average IQ of a human being is increasing by 3 points per decade.
That's pretty dramatic, isn't it?
It's very dramatic, especially when you look at the fact that the IQ scores that are raising the most are in the category of symbolic abstract thinking, not in terms of literacy. So you can't argue that this is a result of people reading newspapers and magazines and websites. It has more to do with our ability to use intuition, which is really what symbolic abstract thinking is. It's the intuitive connections that we make spontaneously between disparate things.
You know, 5 years ago, David, I probably would have said, I don't know about all this. But now I think you're right on. Absolutely right.
Well, you got to realize that you are on the cutting edge. This audience is part of what will become commonplace later on. But right now, we are at the leading edge of this before it becomes common knowledge. We have been lied to. We have been partitioned from the truth. And the people who have tried to get the truth out in many cases have been paid off or intimidated or even killed. And this includes many, many deliberate attempts to suppress science that starts to take us in the right direction. As point of fact, you can even go back to the 1800s. And go to the time of Louis Pasteur. If you look at a carton of milk and it says pasteurized,
that's right.
That's because Louis Pasteur was the guy who says, hey, you know, there's these little critters and you got to kill them or else it's going to make your milk go bad. So there was a big scientific conspiracy of which Pasteur was one of the main components to suppress any evidence of what is called spontaneous generation. Now, what is spontaneous generation? That means if you take some basic enzymes that don't really have any biology in them, and you put them in a little bottle and then you seal it up, that little critters start to grow in a completely hermetically sealed, sterile environment.
Let's pick it up more when we come back. David Wilcock on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. David Wilcock with us tonight. David, tell me about these prophetic dreams as well that you've been having.
Well, this is one of the things that really has gotten me very excited, because obviously we are aware that there's prophecies of 2012. And just as a segue into the dream thing, let me say that it's recently come back into my focus that the Great Pyramid's timeline, which most people don't even know it has one, but there is a timeline in the Great Pyramid, and it actually does resolve to 2012 as being the most important date in the timeline. This has been studied by Freemasons and so forth going back for well over a century, and it involves basically a mathematical code in which each inch, in terms of Egyptian inches, which is slightly different than regular English inches, each inch of passage corresponds to a year in time. The beginning of the timeline is fixed by an alignment between the Pleiades and the pole star as it shines down the descending passage of the pyramid. And then the Pleiades in that case being directly overhead while the pole star shines down. And that only happens once in the entire cycle of precession.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that the mathematical code tells you messages. And one of the messages, I mean, there's a lot of things that have come through. It tags the exact birth and death of Jesus. That's in there very strongly. It nails World War I, World War II, lots of things very specifically. And it talks about, in particular, that the era we're in is an era of universal reincarnation, where every person who's been alive on Earth is alive now to see this event. And as you start to head into the King's Chamber, you go through this little passageway you have to squat down in to go through. And there's a big slab of stone up inside once you go through there, and there's a little carving on that stone that they call the boss or the seal. It kind of looks like a rising sun. And that is actually the symbol of 2012. That symbol is exactly when 2012 hits in the timeline. And if you read these books on pyramidology, they basically tell you that 2012 is when there will be the formation of what they call a separate and unique form of society based totally on allegiance to the spiritual. So it's very interesting to note that you have two different cultures on opposite sides of the Atlantic, the Mayan culture and the Egyptian culture, both of whom have their own highly complex systems, both of whom focus on the exact same date in calendar time, and this date being very close by. Now, as all this relates to my dreams, we haven't really gotten clear as to what the 2012 date exactly means. Is it some kind of dimensional shift in which reality as we know it pops into a different thing entirely? Is it more of a symbolic statement of a period in time in which rapid evolution is occurring, which, as I was talking about in the first part of the show, we can prove that that's happening. We can prove genetically that it's happening. We can show the solar system is undergoing very rapid change, which is not normal. But what does it really mean in terms of when things will happen and what will happen? I have been getting for 2 years now this increasingly intense series of dreams, which are pointing to the fact that sometime within the next 2 or 3 months, we're going to be seeing some very, very substantial shifts in society that will be directly paving the way for the fulfillment of these prophecies.
That's dramatic. Now, these visions that you saw, what spirited? I mean, how did these come to you?
Well, these are the kind of dreams that just leave you reeling because of the intensity and the importance of what's being said. I'll give you an example that happened fairly recently. I had a dream in which I was basically dealing with, for lack of a better term, the Illuminati. And at first it seemed like it wasn't that big of a deal. There was a guy who was trying to steal my wallet, and I said, "Give me that back, man. What are you doing?" You know? Then all of a sudden this woman showed up, and I don't want to name names, but she did kind of look like the actress Judi Dench.
All right.
And that doesn't mean that she's in the Illuminati or anything. I'm just saying that that's who she looked like in the dream. But she basically walks up to me, and her eyes turn red, and are like glowing and beaming this red glow. And basically she was saying, you know, you think you've defeated us, but you haven't seen anything yet. We're now really going to pull out the heavy guns, and this is it. You've pushed it too far. We've had it, and we're going to take you out.
And you could be a representative of the United States.
Oh, yeah, or the world. I mean, humanity in general.
Exactly.
So then, I mean, it's very difficult to say this in a way that makes sense, but the presence of evil that came and when this woman turned, when her eyes turned red, it was absolutely something that just, I mean, I was absolutely paralyzed with fear, couldn't breathe, and it seemed as if time had just slowed to infinitely small amounts of time in one moment. I mean, it was one of the scariest things that's ever happened to me in a dream. And so the intensity of this was huge. And then immediately after that, my perspective shifted out to space, and I saw this giant asteroid, which they had basically maneuvered into position, and it was coming in to hit the Earth, and it was going to wipe out life on Earth as we know it. Now, this does not mean that I'm predicting that an asteroid is coming. It's a symbol. It's not a literal prediction that asteroids are coming.
It's a symbol for something that is coming.
It's a symbol for an attempt to, shall we say, lighten the load of planetary population by a substantial amount.
Good point.
And so what happened, which is just, I mean, it was so astonishing that it actually just brought tears to my eyes. And again, this it sounds Christian, but this is just one way of many to describe this. But here's what happened. All of a sudden, there was an apparition of Mother Mary that appeared, and it was so huge that her waist was at the cloud line. I mean, this is much, much larger than any skyscraper. It was so colossal in size that, you know, you could have been hundreds of miles away and still seen it.
And let's preface this, David. I've never known you to be outwardly religious. Maybe
no.
I'm wrong. Maybe you are.
I would say that I'm spiritual, and I
right.
would say that I embrace the underlying truth that religions hold, which is service to others and the importance of one creator.
Okay.
But no, as far as religions go, I think when you start getting into all these documents being translated and retranslated, and the fact that you have different ET groups that are giving their philosophies to different people, and then how those philosophies get interpreted, you know, there are some that are close to the truth, some that are farther from the truth, but they all have a grain of familiarity with them once you start understanding and experiencing what the Creator really is, because it is something you appreciate in the now. So anyway, Mother Mary is there, and what she does is she reaches out, and her hand, I focus in on her hand, and she literally stops the asteroid with her hand, and she gets it halfway slowed down at first, and then she seems to let it go for a while. Then she brings her hand in again, and, you know, the asteroid looks like just a few pieces of gravel in her hand. And then it basically plops to the ground, and it's completely inert, doesn't hit the Earth, doesn't cause any damage, it just kind of plunks down. And it was just like everybody on Earth had this incredible feeling that the most amazing miracle had happened. Now, I've had other dreams in which I was out on the ocean, and I'm on a raft, and I had been on a raft away from a cruise ship. We were just kind of floating out there. And then I see this tsunami showing up, and it's like, you know, 200-300 feet tall or more. And again, I'm not saying this is a literal prophecy. Please don't misinterpret this, because I know people will misinterpret it if I don't say that. But anyway, this is a symbol, because inside a dream, every part of the dream is some aspect of your psyche and some aspect of the world's psyche. That's why so many people think there are going to be these terrible Earth changes, which may or may not actually happen. They may just be misinterpreting their own intuitive data. But anyway, this was foretelling what appeared to be and what would seem to be a very, very ominous and nasty event coming our way as a planet. And I'm basically saying, oh my gosh, I'm going to die, because here I am on this little raft and this wave is coming. And I basically just hit the deck. I put my face down in the raft, and I'm trying to hold my breath in the hopes that maybe I can swim to the top of the water if it washes over me without crashing on me. And then I'm waiting, and I finally can't hold my breath any longer, and I have to take another breath, which I was terrified to do. I grab another breath, and I'm waiting again. Then I take yet another breath. And I kind of realize, okay, wait a minute. There's no way that I couldn't have already had this wave hit me by now. What the heck happened? I open up my eyes, and now the water is gone, and the whole world looks completely different. So what I'm seeing is and this is just two of many, many dreams. Before 9/11, I was getting dreams so redundant. I was getting dreams of airplane crashes and economic collapse, and those two things paired together over and over again. But what I can say is that I have had 500% more dreams talking about this event that's coming up in our very near future than I ever had about 9/11.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this taking of your wallet in the dream.
Right.
Does this, how would you tie this into the current economic calamity we're in? And also, this talk now that is just rapid. The Arab states are thinking about doing away with the dollar for oil, and now the UN wants to do away with the dollar as the currency.
How does this equate with
your dream?
There is some astonishing synchronicity between the fact that we had already booked this show last week, and then it was today that the announcement was made that the international community is basically wanting to create a basket of currencies to replace the dollar as the global reserve currency. Now, in the wake of World War II, there was a financial agreement called Bretton Woods, which I'm sure most of your listeners know about. And this was where the American economy, given how robust it was and there was nothing else like it, was seen to be that which everyone else would kind of line up behind and use as their global focal point. There obviously, as Catherine Austin Spitz said in your opening there, this has been something that various countries have wanted to do away with for a long time. But we also need to turn the clock back a little farther and recognize that it is the creation of the Federal Reserve System in 1913, which has led to what we now have as a fiat currency, which means we're printing money on hot air, and it doesn't have anything backing it anymore.
Nothing to back it at all. No gold, nothing.
Right. We've been taken off of it being tagged to any actual value. And this is a big problem because it creates an opportunity for massive inflation and massive deflation, sudden spasms of global commerce, which can lead to severe economic pain. And that actually did happen last October. And one of the things that I found so astonishing is that all of the things that are happening now and all the things that are starting to happen have been telegraphed. In other words, at this point, I don't even really need dreams and intuition to be making these prophecy statements anymore. All I need to do is some trend analysis and blending that with the testimony of multiple people who I'm in contact with who are still working on the inside. Some of them do work for the Illuminati. Some of them do work for Majestic. Some of them do work for other black ops agencies. I am speaking to these people. I don't agree with everything they think, and I'm certainly willing and able to tell them that. But I have been entrusted with a lot of information, and unfortunately, the more you get told, the less you can talk about. But I can say that how do I say this? The insiders are absolutely scared out of their wits right now. There is a state of absolute panic and
total
alarm.
Is that why they're going so fast now?
Yes, yes. This swine flu thing, and I will say this, I'm putting myself at risk by doing this. I would definitely, definitely, definitely think twice before taking any medication or vaccine associated with dealing with the swine flu. If you value your life, think about it before you do it, please.
That's pretty strong words, David.
If there's 3.5 billion doses of something that have been made to be a certain way, you might not want to be one of those 3.5 billion.
The WHO said today, by the way, that there are some complications, but not severe.
Well, come on. We already have the testimony of Jane Burgemeister with Baxter Pharmaceuticals putting the actual bird flu into the vaccine and then saying, oops, how did that happen?
Yeah, I want to talk with you more about that when we come back. Give us an overall, in just a few minutes we have here before the break then, this overall impression of this prophetic dream that you had is telling you what?
There is a sequence of events that is about to unfold on this planet, which will at first appear to be the most horrific economic vomiting we've ever seen. It is a sequence of events that is so terrifying that the insiders believe that America is going to collapse into total anarchy, cannibalism, and violence. That is actually what they believe. I do not believe this, but I'm telling you what I'm hearing. They are absolutely in a massive panic. It is red alarm, full five alarm fire, top alert, and it's not being talked about in the media at all. But what is really going on is that their grip on control is about to be broken. The Federal Reserve is in the process of being dismantled, and that's why we need to get the dollar out of the global reserve currency system, because that is part and parcel of the breaking of the back of the Federal Reserve.
Do you think, because I've got to tie this in, and I think you have too, the slighting of Chicago for the 2016 Olympics, with President Obama pushing for Chicago, do you think that was a message that they wanted to send to him that basically said, we're in charge?
Yeah, it basically says, shut your effing mouth. Stop what you're doing. Stop trying to mess with us. We will go to any extent possible. It's just like that woman in the dream. You know, oh, you think that you're in control? Wait a minute. Let me show you what I can do. I can knock out 3.5 billion people on your planet. I can do this. I can do that. Well, first of all, I don't think that's going to work. I don't think that we're going to see a massive die-off of the planet's population. But these guys firmly believe, and I've talked to people that have tried to explain this to me and tried to make me buy into it, they firmly believe that they are saving the world by getting rid of a lot of people. They think that without this happening, that if they were to release the free energy technologies and if they were to tell us about UFOs and extraterrestrials, which they plan on doing, that it would be a disaster, because then you'd have the breeding go way up. However, what we actually do know is that when a society is allowed to develop, they in fact have a much reduced birth rate. In fact, if you're below 2.2, you don't have sustainable population growth. Negative population growth. And that's what's actually happening in countries like the U.S. and Japan.
It's happening primarily in those countries that have a more of an educated population.
You're absolutely correct. The reason why people have so many kids is because of grinding poverty, lawlessness, and despair. And it's a security plan so that as you get elderly, that you're going to have at least one of your kids survive and be able to take care of you. If you're in a society where your basic needs are met and you're not having to worry about getting your head blown off if you walk out to go to the bathroom, then you're not going to be in such a need to have 15 children. That's just a simple scientific fact. And I will point out something else, and that is that when you talk to people who are at the very, very highest level where there's no compartmentalization, and these people are not speaking to guys like Dr. Greer, as far as I'm aware, they don't want to come forward, and they're not going to come forward with me either. But there is a level at which you can find out that we have hundreds and hundreds of interstellar spacecraft. We have many different bases on many different satellites. And there is way more than enough space to move everybody to somewhere else if conditions on the Earth became overpopulated. Then it becomes a question of racism. Basically,
Who goes?
Yeah, who goes? And the point of fact is that they have room for everybody, but they see some of these races as filthy, and they don't like these people. They think of themselves as gods and that these other people are not. And it's preposterous. And again, there is a management in place, that's what I call it, which is higher intelligence, much, much higher than even most of the ETs visiting us. And management basically is letting us play these games in the sandbox, but they won't allow these guys to do any of the big stuff. And that's what Mother Mary represented in my dream. There are forces that are much more powerful that will stop these genocidal plans and that will ensure that what we go through as a planet is a smooth transition. The thing that excites me so much is how fast some of these changes are going to happen. I didn't think we would really see the big stuff until 2012, but now I'm being convinced that that's not the case.
David, when we come back, we'll talk about the swine flu and also what you believe would be UFO disclosure. That's all next with David Wilcock on Coast to Coast AM.